Rima Calloway is going to conduct an interview in regards to women in media.
Hi, San Francisco. This is Rima Calloway, and I'm sitting across from Terry Winston from the Women's Audio Mission.
Hi.
How you doing?
I think I'm doing well.
That's fine.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Well, Terry, I want to know, how did your organization start?
I started teaching at City College of San Francisco about 7 years ago, and I noticed that the number of women in audio hadn't really changed since I started, which was over 20 years ago, and I found that slightly shocking, and I also felt slightly accountable that I'm in a teaching position and I need to address that, and luckily City College was very supportive of that, and we kind of started to examine that, and with a group of women students, we started Women's Audio Mission to kind of try and get more women in the program, and we ultimately got the enrollment of women up to over 50% at one point, and now we kind of average about 43%, which I believe to be the highest in the country. And so Women's Audio Mission kind of encompasses the best practices of that and expands on it, and that's the genesis of it.
What are the age range for the program?
Well, we have a project for middle and high school girls called Project Grow, which is recording outreach workshops. And we're kind of just getting that expanded this spring, and we're doing a lot of free workshops at all of the Expanding Your Horizons with Math and Science events that are in the Bay Area, and that's on our website if anybody's interested. And then we also have training programs for women. So I would say anywhere from, say, 12 to, I think we've had women in their 60s. So any range we can probably accommodate. I think younger than 12 starts to be difficult, but something about around those age ranges.
Is WAM located in the Bay Area?
It is. WAM is located in San Francisco, 1890 Bryant Street. So kind of the Mission Potrero Hill border there. Across from KQED, if that helps anyone.
What made you start this project?
I think just seeing that there's a few simple things that could be done to get more women involved, and seeing that kind of really mushroom and very easily, I thought it would be better to see that happen kind of globally instead of just in one place. So we're kind of looking for one place that people can look to for ways to get more women involved, and such as what you're doing here, which I think is great.
Because it seems like one of those best kept secrets. We were giving a presentation over at BayVac, and BayVac gave us information about your project, because almost all the participants in our computer project and in the audio part are young women. It just seemed like it made total sense. I mean, we can start it, but now you guys have actually a group you can interface with as mentors. I don't know if Rima or the crew will follow up, and I'm hoping they are. That's part of the interview, so they can have introductions and meet another chain of folks.
Well, I've already roped her in. We're already signing them all up.
Cool.
Really?
I mean, we basically, what we have that's really stable is a very good curriculum. So I think because that's already developed, it's easier for us to kind of interface with other organizations and say, okay, great, now we can, let's get you in the studio and let's get you recording and doing what you want to do, which sounds like you guys already have your own music thing going on there.
Yeah, I was letting her know that a lot of my friends, we are the females, like Ranisha, she raps. Danae, my other friend, she raps too. And I like the singing, so I was...
And then who's going to be the engineer? We still need an engineer.
They're going to be the
engineer.
Ebony. Okay, no, there we go. Ebony.
Okay, Ebony. Yeah. I don't know Ebony, but Ebony, you're going to be the engineer.
Yes.
That's great.
In WAM, what kind of programs do you have other than learning the technical?
The technical part of
yes.
it, yeah. That's a great question. So we mostly focus on technology, so using technology in any form of sound, so sound for music production or film or video. But we also have a program called the Artist Incubator Project, which is kind of a one-stop project to launch the careers of singers and songwriters and musicians, because we found through doing a lot of recording engineering, we were interfacing with a lot of women artists who needed more support from the business side, how to start their own business, how to keep their bands together, how to find a band, how mm-hmm. to find people to play in their, you know, project, how to get it recorded. So we wanted to kind of expand. I started out as a recording artist, so I have okay. kind of amassed a lot of connections business-wise and legally. So we wanted to kind of take that information and pool it all together. And then it would also give a really good training, you know, kind of guinea pigs, per se, for our engineers that are training. So the two, you know, the artist gets the low-cost recording services and our folks get, you know, something to start to work on as a recording engineer.
Okay. As a founder of WAM, was it hard getting connections with other programs and businesses?
That's a great question. It was very easy, actually, within the audio industry, because I'd already been in it for so long. And luckily, the folks that I did know in the audio industry were extremely supportive. We've got pretty much all of the equipment in our recording studio, which is nice, very nice equipment, has been donated. So the industry's been very supportive of what we're doing, luckily. So, you know, we've got folks like DigiDesign and some of the, you know, Mackie and A Designs and Lavery Engineering, and just some really good people just donating equipment to that studio. So we're really happy with that.
So is there a way that people who do not live in the Bay Area could get in contact with you?
Actually, that's so perfect, because we've been having a lot of issues. We have like 750 women worldwide that are members of the organization, and it's been difficult to actually serve them because our studio's here and all of our instructors are here, and so they've really wanted us to come up with a way to, you know, make that information more available to them. So hopefully this spring we just were funded to provide online training. So we're going to start a video library of all of the training that we offer locally to all that membership worldwide. And then we're also trying to do video conferencing so that we could also do live events with other schools. So there's, you know, schools in New York and Boston that really want to get this going so that we can actually interface.
Hi, this is David from Justice Found. And my question was, how important is the studio nowadays? I keep hearing about, you know, you can build your own studio on your laptop, and if you've got a Mac and, you know, some equipment, you're good. So what's your opinion about the studio, you know, the traditional studio?
That's a really good question, and I would have to say I'm really biased, so keep that in mind. I think the studio is still really relevant because for me, it's really important to have, for instance, I want to have you sing. I want to have a live person playing instruments, and I really love that interaction. And to have that interaction with instruments and live human beings, it's important to have a space that's, you know, A, acoustically designed right, that's soundproof so that I don't hear the bus go by. And so there's something about that space that becomes really important to us. And, you know, in one way, I think it is great that you can record things on a laptop and be very mobile. I think that's really important. And at the same time, I think it's really important to understand what a traditional studio environment offers, because I think once people are in that environment, they go, oh, wow, this is actually easier for me to perform and do all this in this environment instead of plugging everything into this laptop and unplugging it, and you get all tangled up in the cables. So I think both are really valid. I think it's just important to have experience with both. So that's what we try to do.
Okay. And if you have someone who comes through your program when they're completed with the training, are they then able to go into the studio and kind of run the whole thing themselves, basically? Or are they still going to need to sort of pay for support? So I'm trying to kind of get at what can a young artist or a band expect to need to come up with resource-wise to put together their own demo tape, for example.
Right. The way that works for our membership, if they have gone through the certificate program and they have to pass an exam and the whole nine yards, then yes, they are able to. They're able to basically book the studio at a special rate, That they can then offer to their clients, the idea being that they start to develop a freelance business. Mm. So what they're passing on to their clients is very low rates, like exceptionally low rates with equipment that's kind of beyond those rates. So they're getting access to a space that's very high quality, and it also affords our membership who have passed the certificate program, it affords them a way to build up their reel with these clients. So it's kind of a win-win situation. The client gets a very low-cost service, and then our membership is gaining experience in building up their reel and getting credit, which I find to be the most important thing, actually, in all of this, is that women, very few women, are getting actual credits on, you know, records, films, radio production, whatever. They're not really getting credited. So we want to really start to give them, like, hey, here's the band, or, you know, here's the film. Go and get your name on that.
When it comes to the Women's Audio Mission, is this like a environment where you can foster people coping mechanisms or stereotypes?
That's an excellent question, because that's been offered to me a lot. Terry, are you going to just coddle them and that's the only environment they're going to be able to work? If any of you have seen, I take a crew down and build a studio at the Tape Op Conference every year, and this year it's changed to a different name, but it's the Potluck Conference. It's great because we build a studio and run it with many Grammy-winning producers and engineers, and so it's a really high-profile place to put my crew in. And when they see how I interact with the crew, they're like, okay, we get it. In a way, I don't want to scare anybody off, but we're a little bit like a boot camp for that reason. Like, hey, this is going to come down the pike. Like, anybody who works for me as a producer actually gets like, wow, it's hard to work for Terry. She's tough. And not in a bad way, not like it's unfair, but in a consistent way. I think because we are taking women into very high-profile situations such as the AES conference and different conferences, so they have to, it's not like you're only going to work in this studio. I think it's just a confidence builder. It's more like a stepping stone of like, okay, you did it with us and nothing went wrong, so now let's amp this up and like let's put the pressure on. Kind of like what, you know, this is what you're doing right now. This is right?
Yeah.
And you're doing great. So it's like,
yeah, I've noticed in some of the videos on YouTube that you're very self-effacing with these guys going off and getting all technical and stuff, and you kind of even make jokes on yourself until everybody gets comfortable, and then it just seems like you're one of the boys right then. But I noticed in a couple of clips, even though you knew your thing, you knew all the stuff they knew, they were still kind of like, you know, and it's this and it's that. And so that was what I was asking about other people. It seems like you can handle it very well, but I'm wondering if the other...
That comes up a lot because they ask oftentimes... I'll be in front of 800 people and I'll get somewhat insulted. Someone will insult me and they're like, why didn't you take that person? And I said, well, what good's that going to do? There's an audience. They know what's going on. They know exactly what's going on. They don't need me to have a meltdown. And I don't need to have a meltdown. That's on them. I'm fine. We're really trying to get into more of a positive thing. I don't even know why there's no women in the industry. I don't know why. And I think to focus on that in some ways is a little bit detrimental. I feel like we know this works, we're doing it, and everything's fine, and we can get along with everyone. We don't have to be reactionary and, you know, you called me a bad name or whatever, you know. I mean, it's kind of, sometimes I think the audience will call that person on it rather than me reacting and be like, oh, you shouldn't have said that, or, and we all know it wasn't good. You know?
So Rima, how would you feel if you guys were doing your thing and then right across from you is a woman mixing and another one producing and editing? How do you think that'd make you guys feel?
Honestly, I would feel good, because usually you don't find that. It's usually a male telling you what to do, and like they're kind of superior to the whole industry business. You never really hear of a person, a CEO of the music business, a female. You never rarely hear it, and I would feel good having somebody that looks like me inside and out that could help me with what I'm trying to do. I think it would be a great experience.
I think so, personally. I think it helps all the way around, because honestly, when, for instance, we do these things publicly, it's not like men are going, oh, what a drag, these women are here. They're actually like, wow, this is great. The only ones that don't like it are the ones that are a little nutty, you know? The people that are accomplished and very good in this industry are just, they're ecstatic. That they're, it's like, oh, wow, this is like a normal mix of people like I would see on the bus. I mean, why does this look different from the bus? That's what you walk in and you're like, wow. I mean, it's...
I guess one of Ronisha's questions would be, what could she do? Who could she contact? What is it that she can do to start her own studio or get into the field?
I would say that the first thing would be to become a member and become involved in the organization, because we're really good at kind of matching people to opportunities. So, for instance, we place a lot of people in internships and job opportunities and the appropriate trainings. I think sometimes... people start the training and then realize, oh, wow, this is so great. I'd like to do more of that. Where do I go to do more of that? So it doesn't even necessarily have to be training within Women's Audio Mission, but I think that's probably the best bet. And, you know, our website's womensaudiomission.org. You can either become a member online or call us up, 558-9200, and, we'll definitely point you in the right direction.
Are there certain guidelines you want for a member?
You mean like a skill level or something like that?
No,
skill
level. We just want to study what we are about. So pretty much, if you're interested in anything that involves sound, that you're in the right place. See, we're gonna get you in there, and you guys are gonna be singing and rapping and putting. Then we have to get the beats made and the music bed, right? We got all that. That's a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
we got work to do.
Looking forward to it.
Get you in the studio.
And you need to learn how to work that board.
Yeah, that'll
then
be fun.
Then we can come here and work
there you
the
go.
Radio
yeah.
board.
There you go.
This will be easy.
Yeah.
You'll be
compared
like,
to
yeah, compared to what we have, yes, it'll be easy. You'll be okay. Like, oh, I can do that.
I know Ronisha would ask a lot of questions because she wants to go into, I think, is it journalism?
She wants to go into journalism and she wants
TV,
to own her own.
Yeah,
she wants to own her own radio station. Yeah.
She wants to own her own radio I love that. She should totally own her own radio station. Why not? I think that's brilliant. You know, one thing that we also do through our WAM Corps, which is our placement program, is we do tours at City College and State. So, you know, maybe with a group of you guys, we could take you to the departments of that as well. So you can see through Women's Audio Mission kind of as a starting point and then see, oh, okay, well, here's some college programs that, especially if you want to own your own radio station. I think, you know, then some you want to kind of get some broadcast background, and we know where that is since I work in the broadcasting department, so we can hook everybody up with that.
Okay.
You guys have to come visit us.
We'll come to WAM.
That's right. That would be great.
So what are the hours of the...
Well, right now, because we're under construction still,
okay,
there's no hours.
Okay.
Until the end of January, so very soon, like early February, we'll open back up.
Okay.
Right now, we're all covered in... I cleaned myself up and got all the drywall dust off of myself. So,
okay.
But after that, typically we're open on the weekends and on certain days after school from like 3 on and then evenings.
Okay. So. Well, Terry, I had fun talking to you.
Thanks
so much. Hopefully we'll talk to you later.
Oh, yeah, you will.